Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Terry, and I'd like to welcome you to my Bible study podcast. This daily podcast is a place where we take the teachings of Scripture seriously, but ourselves, not so much. Join us as we dive into the sacred word of the Bible, and each time we read, we pray, we change the world. Welcome to Pastor Terry's Bible Study Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. It is Thursday, February the 15th, 2024. It is the day after Valentine's Day, the day after Ash Wednesday, or the second day of Lent, however you want to say it. First week of Lent. So hope you had an opportunity to reflect and worship. Maybe, of course, we did readings yesterday morning, but at church, had a chance to spend some time reflecting and worshiping. We had a two opportunities for come and go worship, communion and prayer, ashes, at Bayside yesterday. One at noon and the other in the evening. I wasn't there in the evening, so I'm not sure how that went. My wife had a business luncheon dinner that I was at with her. So I don't know how the evening one went, but there were some folks who came through at lunch, which is nice. But yeah, hope you had a good day yesterday. Today we are continuing in our Lent readings. And today's plan takes us to Habakkuk chapter 3. I love that book, Habakkuk, because the theme of Habakkuk is sort of like, God, I know you can, but why aren't you? Which is a wonderful, that's a very real theme, right? Like, God, I know you could heal my body, but why aren't you? Or God, I know you could restore this relationship, but why aren't you? God, I know you could bring justice to the earth, but why aren't you? So it's a, like, how long, oh Lord, do we have to wait? And it's a really good book for that. And so, yeah. All right. Thanks so much for being on today. Let's dive in. You know, we do. We read, we pray, we change the world. Habakkuk chapter 3. Good morning, Trish. Good morning, Molly. Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, Ann. Welcome. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. I assume that's like a location. No, it's probably, the note says it's probably a musical term. Interesting. Verse 2, Lord, I have heard your fame. I stand in awe. Looking for my pen. There we go. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day. Yeah. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. It's beautiful, right? I've heard of your fame. I've heard of the great, wonderful things you've done in the past, the way you've moved and come through for God's people in miraculous ways. In our time, make them known. Yeah, in our generation. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flash from his hand. Where his power was hidden. Which from his hand. I kind of read that weird. Rays flash from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled. And the age-old hills collapsed, but he marches on forever. Ooh. Just the unstoppable God, right? He just marches on forever. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the seas when you rode your horses and chariots to victory? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by and deep roars, with deep roars, and lifted waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath, you strode through the earth, and in your anger, you threshed the nations. Habakkuk is, in the story of Habakkuk, as the prophet begins praying for, how long, O Lord, before you answer? And interestingly enough, God basically reveals that I've got a plan that to bring justice, and it actually is, you're not going to like the plan, basically. I've got a plan, and you're really not going to like it in the short term, because it meant that the Babylonians would invade, and they would be the instrument of God's judgment. They would be the rod of judgment against Israel. And so Habakkuk is reflecting upon that the fighting and the destruction and the the defeat that Israel faced, that endured, was really God allowed it. God allowed it to bring the nation to repentance. Verse 14, with your spear you pierced his head when the warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. Yet I waited patiently for the day of calamity to come to the nation invading us. So the Babylonians, Habakkuk is saying, I'm waiting. Yes, I know they were used by God to correct us, but there's also going to come a day when they get their own correction. Though the fig tree does, this is a beautiful, beautiful ending. This is when you're waiting, right? When you're waiting for God's deliverance. Anybody waiting for God to do something supernatural or miraculous in their lives, and you're in a holding pattern, it feels like, or in a season of waiting. This next passage here is really beautiful for that. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no fruit, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Right? The fig tree doesn't, there's no economic prosperity. There's no grapes on the vine. There's no fields. There's no food being produced in the field. Like, it's desolation. Even if that's the case, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on heights. That's awesome. That is awesome. All right, let's jump over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Yeah, that ending of Habakkuk is awesome. No matter what the conditions, no matter what happens, yet I will praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, Etta. That's exactly it. Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 21. Let's see what the Lord has to say here. Now, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of the goal, or to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I love that spirit, man. It's like sometimes that's it, right? Not that I've obtained everything. Not that I've figured everything out. Not that I've done everything right. But one thing I do, I press on towards the goal of taking hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. Keep pressing on towards Christ. Keep pressing on. Keep moving on. Maybe that's a word for someone today. Maybe you feel like you've messed up. You're stuck. What do? You press on. You praise God and you press on. You praise and you press. Praise God, press on. Amen. You just praise and press. That's all I'm doing right now. I'm praising and pressing. Praising God, pressing on. You know, even though that's kind of tie the Habakkuk passage with that one, you know. Going to praise him in the good times and the bad. I'm going to press on. Verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Love it. Now, when he says forgetting what is behind, he doesn't mean like literally ignoring the past. But what he's saying is like leaving the past in the past and moving forward. Like not being stuck in the past, not letting the past shackle you. Learn from the past for sure. Remember the lessons from the past, sure, but don't let the past keep you trapped. Forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. We've attained these incredible things through Christ, right? God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And so Paul is like, you should strive to live up to those blessings. To that status, to those, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's that idea too, that we, you know, that of the New Testament, that God, the message of the New Testament, that Jesus finds us where we are. He meets us where we are, no matter where we are. No matter what your life is, no matter how messed up it is, no matter what sin has gripped your life, Jesus meets you right where you are. And he leads you to live up to that for which he's called you. Only let us live down, right? Doesn't mean let us live down to the lowest common denominator of the culture. No, I should live up to that for which Christ has called me to. Let us live up to what we have already attained. It's never it's never a part of the gospel that Christ finds us where we are and then leaves us there and just says, you're just fine right where you are. Just keep doing what you're doing. It's always, there's improvement, there's growth, there's maturity. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as a model. Keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Live as enemies of the cross of Christ. That's a fact, man. Just look around. Even today, there are plenty of people and groups that are enemies of the cross. Now, they don't may not say that. Some do, but many won't say that. But their ideology, their values, what they worship, is diametrically opposed to the gospel. Diametrically opposed to Jesus as Lord. And Paul's telling the Philippians this back in the first century, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I mean, sometimes even professing, even people who use the title Christian, like they're Christian, but they're living as enemies of the cross of Christ. What does that mean? How often do they talk about repentance? I mean, if someone says they're a Christian and they're afraid to talk about repentance and forgiveness and repenting of sin and asking for forgiveness and seeking the mercy of God, look, that's, if those things aren't part of your vocabulary and understanding of the gospel, then you are the cross of Christ is foreign to you, man. And to some degree, even the understanding of, and this takes a little more maturity, but even the understanding of being tried and proven through suffering. The cross is about being proved, Christ proved himself through the cross. And sometimes in our lives, we prove ourselves, we mature, we fellowship in his sufferings through our trials. And if our theology does not have a proper understanding of suffering, then we, in a sense, are enemies of the cross. We don't really understand it, right? I mean, when you think about it, like, the guy we worshiped went to a cross, went through suffering, and he's our Messiah, he's our Lord, he's our example. And so to understand that message of the cross, that even through our suffering, not just through our good stuff, actually more through our sufferings, we understand Jesus, which is what Lent is about, right? Part of Lent is a fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. And in sharing with us in his sufferings, this man of sorrows, this man of suffering, the suffering servant, as Isaiah 53 calls him, we understand the depth of his love. We understand better the depth of his compassion. We understand the depth of his determination. We understand his press on-ness, right? He presses on to take hold of that for which God had called him to. How do we learn that? We learn that through the cross, man. We learn that through his suffering, through his trial. But we do not want to live as enemies of the cross. Verse 19, their destiny is destruction. What? Who's those who are enemies of the cross? Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. And their glory is their shame. Ooh. Man. Their God is their stomach. What is that? That's just a metaphor for your appetites. It's not just physical food, right? Yeah. I mean, it's the appetites, the human appetites. Their God is their own unbridled passions and desires. Man, do we see that in our culture or around the world? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Paul is saying that is indicative of someone who is an enemy of the cross of Christ. And what they think is their glory is actually going to turn out to be their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Verse 20, but we ain't like that, y'all. We ain't like that. We built different. Verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Amen. We aren't like the people of the kingdom of this world. We're not people of worldliness. So we aren't driven by our appetites. We are driven by our vision of Jesus and our relationship with him, by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We are our citizenship, our ultimate citizenship is in heaven, where Christ is reigning, where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And so we press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of us. And what's he taken hold of us for? To lead us to that permanent fellowship with him. Where there's perfect knowledge and intimacy with God and in his presence and his full glory forever. Oh, what a day that will be. All right, let's jump over to John. John chapter 17. John 17, 1 through 8. Welcome, everybody. So glad to have everybody on today. Hope you guys are doing great. Thank you for spending some time in the Word today with us. This is Jesus praying. So we read Habakkuk's prayer. We heard a little bit of a inspiring portion from Paul to press on to forgetting what is behind. And now we're going to hear Jesus himself pray. 1 through 8. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Wow. That is, that's eternal life, man. What's eternal life? That people know Jesus, the only true God, whom you've sent. That's our prayer throughout this Lenten season, right? That we might know him more, that we might experience that eternal life. And eternal life is not just in length of time, right? It's in quality and fullness of life. This is fullness of life. This is eternal life. This is abundant life, not only in how long, but also in the fulfillment of life. And what is it? What is a fulfilling eternal life? It's knowing Jesus. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. This is Jesus about ready to be crucified, right? This is him about ready to give his life. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And so do we, by the way. The way we glorify God is by completing the work that he's given us to do. As Paul would say, press on towards the calling. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Wow. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. So Jesus is saying to the Father, I revealed the Father to people. That's been my mission, to show people what God was like. That's one of the main things Jesus does, man, is he shows us what God is like. He was like, I've never seen God. Well, right. That's what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to show us what God was like. And we have a written record from the Word of God recording for us what Jesus did, the way he interacted, the way he taught, and what he said about everything. And that shows us what God is like. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. Wow. It's amazing that Jesus is praying for his disciples, right? Just such love that God would protect them. And he's, in a sense, interceding for them. He's saying, they listened. They believe that you sent me. They know that I am from you. They have obeyed your word. So I'm praying for them. Protect them. Keep them. And that prayer is for us too, man. It's not only for the disciples then, it's for any disciples that would follow. It's awesome. And just to think that, Jesus came to show us the glory of God in flesh. That the unseeable, unapproachable God, Jesus came to make God approachable, to approach us, and to show us what he's like. Well, good stuff to think about today as we think about forgetting what is behind, pressing forward, praising God in no matter what, praising and pressing. And somehow getting through all of it, through the times of pressing on, through the times of praising God, to learn and to experience Jesus more, to open up our hearts to maybe see a different side of Jesus. Let's pray together, Lord, everybody. God, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Thank you for your Holy Word. Thank you for the way you instruct us and teach us, and thank you for helping us to press on, to press hold of that for which you've called us to. Lord, thank you for the reminder in your Word today that our citizenship is in heaven, and that is ultimately where we're from. That is ultimately where we're going. So God, help us to live with those kingdom values, those heavenly values here on earth. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you that even through adversity, you are with us. You never leave us nor forsake us. And so God, I pray your blessing upon each and every person. May you encourage and strengthen. May your presence be with each of them today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my friends. Hope you guys have a fantastic day. Thank you for your goodness and your time together today. Thank you for spending some time with us all week. We'll be back at it next Monday as we continue our readings through the Lenten season. And hope you enjoy your weekend. You guys are awesome. Love you guys. Thanks for liking, subscribing, sharing this, all of that stuff. Appreciate that. Thanks, Ms. Simmons and Etta. You guys have a fantastic day. You guys are awesome. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Thank you for joining me on today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If this episode has been an encouragement to you, take a minute to subscribe or comment or share it with your friends. You can find me, Pastor Terry, and Bayside Church on all social media platforms. You can find Bayside at Bayside Church SH. Until next time, remember, God's word is true. Everything else is merely commentary. God bless you. We'll see you next time.